Morning, church. It is good to see so many of you here, some of you back with us after being sick for a little bit, and just thankful for your return and for your well-being. And we've got a lot of guests with us this morning, and we are very thankful for you. Thank you for coming our way, some of you here with family and others here with friends as part of our school that meets here. We are so glad to see you this morning and hope that today will be a great blessing time together. For those that are our visitors, I start with some of our smiles from superstars and different things, different ones of our congregation, and call them smiles of the week. And so I thought this was a pretty good place to start. We've got some Big Brothers news coming up, and just great smiles all the way around, different things. And then a few happy birthdays. David Heffington had a birthday this week. I imagine it was a pretty big one. I lost count. So love them. Always good to have grandbabies in our arms. And bless his heart, he's got a little bug this morning and is missing us. So pray for little Riker. We've got new babies coming. We've got a baby shower for the Stocktons coming up in a few weeks. We've got new weddings that are coming up. You know, I'll start a GoFundMe on this one, and you can bypass the showers and just donate there. But so excited about that. Also got missions giving coming up on the 3rd of May, and this is one of our mission points. It's the Nicaragua Christian School, and several of us in this group have been down there and worked there. Just a tremendous kids able, and you can see, learning about Jesus and learning about the impact of His life in all things. Want to keep some folks in our prayers. We continue proud of our military. We've got folks that are a part of our family here that are serving, and we'll keep them in our prayers. Especially we want to be thinking about this week with the Ettingers. Tammy has some scans coming up on Friday, and we want to pray for a clear report there. And as well, Monday, Weston is having some surgery. And so just a lot for one family to be going on. And one of the things we do as a family is we pray and we ask God to be with us and bless us in all things. And I want to do that especially for this family this morning as we begin. Father in heaven, we come before you today so thankful for your goodness, thankful for your mercy and your grace. Father, thankful that we can gather in a country that is free, that we are protected by soldiers, that we're protected by the things that so many have done through the years and through the ages. Father, for our men and women in this auditorium that have served in that capacity, we say thank you. Father, we do ask you to protect those around the world that are serving at this moment. And we, God, ask you to bring about peace in all things. We're so thankful for the blessings that we have, for the love that we share in this family. And Father, especially right now, thinking about the love that we share for this family, we pray for the Ettingers. We pray for success in the treatments that have been happening, that you've been bringing about healing in Tammy's body. And we pray for a good report this Friday. We pray, God, for Weston and his surgery. We're thankful for good news and reports this week from the Stillwell, from Henry's surgery. And we pray you continue to bless his healing. Father, be with all those that are going through difficult moments. We know there are many. We just ask you to bless us with everything that we need. We know you love us. Father, we know life is hard, but we know, Father, that you've promised to be faithful in all things. And we pray you help us to experience that love and to follow you in all we do. Lord, be with us now as we open your word, as we study together. And Father, I pray that you help us to grow in our love and our appreciation of you and of what you have done. And it's through Jesus we pray. Amen. We start with that thought, what love was willing to do. You know, I can't help but think about what love was willing to do. And when I think about Bud and Linda Burgess celebrating their 70th anniversary today. Is that correct? 70th anniversary. That's worth a round of applause. All right. There are many things that we like to celebrate in this family, and one of those is the love and the faithfulness that we see in so many of our older couples, and what examples they are for us as younger couples, that love can do this thing, that you can work through challenges and you can be successful in all that you do. And so I wanted to recognize, and Bud served as one of our elders here, and he and Linda were just have been such a tremendous part of this family here at Spring Meadows through the years. And just what a blessing. What a blessing to be able to celebrate and honor you guys, and thank you for that. But today, as we think about the cross, I want us to think about it from perhaps a different view. Because so often we, in this season, we go from the Palms Sunday waving and Hosanna, Lord save us, to next week's He is risen, and we miss what happens in the middle. We can tend to look over that, and I don't want us to do that this morning. This Friday night, Mia and a group and several of our college students have been on mission trips across America, some in Alaska, some in Florida, and Panama, the Central American country, and she was coming back from Panama. And as we went to pick her up at the airport, I was watching planes fly in overhead, and my mind, maybe you've been there, sitting at the window seat looking out from 30,000 feet and the beautiful lights that cover the ground. Have you ever come back into those moments and you see that and you're just like, man, it's incredible. But then you drop down to 15,000 feet and it gets a little clearer and you begin to see the patterns of neighborhoods and you can begin to see lights on houses, and then you drop down a little closer and you begin to actually see cars and people, and it changes everything the closer and closer you get. Well, that's my hope for us today, that as we start at the top, that we begin to see something from a 30,000 feet perspective until we move closer and closer and we get to see the cross standing at the ground beside it. I want you to think about that, because Scripture does that for us. It takes us from a divine perspective of what was going to happen at the cross to a very personal one. And I want us to look at that together today. And so I promise you, as we study this, it will only become more wonderful the closer we get. And so I want you to think about this. I want you to think what God was willing to do to get us back. I mean, isn't that incredible to think that God created us, and then in the sin that entered into the world, we were lost, all of us. But He wasn't willing to allow that to remain the only option. He was willing to go through a tremendous love for us so that we could be reached. You think about it. Think about somebody you love more than anything else, that you love more than yourself. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's somebody's name that's come across your mind, or even is it there in your phone right now, that you wouldn't waste a second to head out the door if they needed you. And ask yourself, what would I be willing to do for that person? How far would I be willing to go? What would I be willing to give up for them? What would I walk into knowing that there would be a cost? Now, most of us, if we're honest, can imagine going to extraordinary lengths. Some of you have done that. You've done that in different ways. That's the kind of love we're going to focus on this morning. We admire it, we're moved by it, and we know it when we see it. Now I want you to hold on to that feeling. And as we start, I'm going to start with something that I imagine that none of you were expecting to hear from the stage this morning, okay? I imagine it's from a classic rock ballad, one of the best-selling albums of all times. It was built by around one simple, unforgettable line. And that line, I would do anything for love, but, help me out, but I won't do that. You know, we all remember hearing that song, and it resonates with us. We understand it. Every human being who's ever been loved has it seems like there's a line that you're going to go to, but you're not going to cross that line. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. And as I thought about that this morning, I thought, man, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that when the eternal Son of God looked at the cross, when he looked at the rescue of human race and what it was going to cost him, I'm so thankful he didn't turn to God the Father and say, but I won't do that. He did that. He went all the way to the most cruel and the most costly death in human history. And it begins for us before the beginning. I say planned from the beginning. It was actually before the beginning. We're going to look at four angles. We're going to descend from 30,000 and come down with it. But at this 30,000, I want you to think about the planned. It was even before the beginning of time that we see God planning this moment. See, a lot of times we think about it and we think, wait, it wasn't until Eve sinned and Adam sinned and sin entered the world that there was a need for a Savior. No, God knew. He knew before He even created us what was going to be. And I think about it. The book of Revelation, John says it this way. It was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. How is the lamb slain before the world was ever even created? It was slain in the mind of God because God already knew what would happen. He already knew what was needed. He already knew what it was going to cost even before the foundation of the earth was laid. It was a foreknown thing. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but from the empty ways of life handed down to you, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." See, the death of Jesus on the cross was not something that was a last minute, how am I going to fix this? This was something that God understood, knew even before He made us, and yet He made us anyway. He gave us that. That's often a question. Why would a loving God who is all powerful and all knowing create us with the opportunity to choose to reject Him? And the reason is because it's not really love if we don't have a choice. You see, love in its greatest evidence is when we continue to choose it in spite of. And God chose us. He was chosen. Jesus was chosen before the creation, but He's been revealed in these last times. So think about it. Outside of eternity, God saw the cross. Before the first breath was breathed, He thought about Jesus' last breath. Before God took the soil and created Adam from it, He thought about that same soil that would hold the cross that would hang His Son. It's powerful to think about God from the other side of creation, understanding this was going to happen. Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 7, it says, "He chose us in Him." That's important. I want you to think about God choosing you. Some of you have been a part of different athletic teams. You've been in that PE class, and you've been standing on the wall, and you've been waiting as everybody got picked. And everybody got picked for the dodgeball team, or everybody got picked for the kickball team. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. And you know what it's like not to be chosen. I knew what it was like not to be chosen. But isn't it awesome to think that the God of creation, that the God of the universe, the God that has the power to change everything for us, He chose you. But He chose us through something. Notice it. He chose us in Him. It was in Christ that God would choose us. That was God's plan the whole time. Before the creation of the world, it would be in Him that we would be chosen. What are we chosen? We're chosen to be holy. We're chosen to be blameless in His sight. It says in love, He predestined, or He pre-chose us for adoption to sonship. How? Through Jesus. In accordance with His pleasure. It was His heart's desire that He would do this. He would, His will to praise and glorious grace, which He's freely given to us in the one He loves. In Him, that's that location. Where are we? Where are we good with God? Where are we saved from the things? We are in Him. And He says, in Him we have redemption. We've been bought back through the blood of Jesus. The forgiveness of sins according to God's grace. You see, that's what God knew before the foundation of the world. What looked like to the world the darkest defeat in history was actually the greatest victory that was ever won. The cross didn't happen to Jesus. Jesus happened to the cross. And through it, He would set the captives free. So I want you to think about that with me. Because not only was it a thing that happened before the creation of the world, it was also something that God would predict through Scripture. His people would know that there would be a Messiah coming. And so as we descend to about a 15,000 feet view, I want you to think about the prediction. I want you to go back, because in Scripture, in the book of Isaiah, there was a prophecy. That prophecy just means this man of God predicted something would happen, and it was 700 years later that it actually happened. How amazing. How incredible to see that far into the future. And listen to this, what the cross from eternity would say. And now in our time, 700 years before Christ, the Scripture says this: who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before Him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. He was like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised. We held Him in low esteem. And surely He took upon Himself our pain, and He bore our suffering. Yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity, our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We are all like sheep who have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own ways, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You see, Isaiah, before 700 years before the coming of Jesus, talked about the Savior being pierced, talked about the mockery, talked about the rejection, but he also talked about what He was doing. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was saving us in that sacrifice. The punishment that brings us peace. He stood in the gap between the holiness of God and the guilt of the people. And He absorbed what we deserved to receive. See, that's what the cross is. Don't rush to the open tomb and miss the occupied cross. And the ugliness of it. And what it meant. And what it meant for me. And what it meant for you. By His wounds, we are healed. He paid a price for us. But He also healed something that we could never heal on our own. That was our brokenness. That's that part inside of us that still cries out and goes, I don't know what I'm doing here. I can't fix this. And He says, I can. If you'll let me. You see, the last part of that, we were all like sheep who have gone astray. That's every one of us. Nobody is outside of the reach of that. No exception. And so if you wonder, is this for you? Absolutely it is. Because Nobody is any better than any of the rest of us in this room, because the cross points to that and says it was not God's response to your worst day. It was His answer to the deepest need of your heart. And He wrote about it over 700 years before it would ever happen. Some of you are thinking and wondering, is this true? Is this real? I mean, there are thousands of predicted moments about Jesus coming, about His life, that point us to its validity. And this is one of them. It's part of the prediction. But not just the prediction. I want you to think about the power of what happened at the cross. Beyond outside of eternity, beyond the prophecy of Jesus, beyond that moment, I want you to think about some of the things that we see in the power of the cross. Romans chapter 5, Paul in the book of Romans has talked in the first several chapters about Jesus and what how we as people have missed the mark. We are all sinners, whether it was the worldliness of the Gentile world or the Jews that he brought into the account in chapters 2 and 3. He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in chapter 5, he comes to this great truth. You see, at just the right time, that's an awesome thought, that of all the points in history, that when Jesus hung on the cross, it was just the right time. We could explore that whole conversation in a lot of different ways. Maybe it was the fact that the Roman Empire was controlling the world, and now you have this common Greek language that was primarily used across the world in the powers of the world. And they knew, maybe it was the roads that had been developed that would be prime opportunity for the world to be carried this message of the cross. Maybe that's what just the right time was. Maybe it was the fact that we were powerless. We couldn't do it, and He died for us. It was God demonstrating His own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not because I'm so good. It's because He's so good. We've been justified by His blood. We've been saved from God's wrath through Him. And while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled. We were brought back together with Him through the death of His Son. How much more then, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only this, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we now have received reconciliation. We've been brought back together with God. I love what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where it says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him, there's that location again, in Christ, in this relationship with Jesus, in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ had no sin. The only human in all of history to have lived this way. And God made Him to be sin. Not just to bear sin, but to become it for us. To be completely the human guilt. To feel within Himself the dread of everything that sin meant. To experience the separation that sin brought for the first time in all of His existence. See, that's the power of the cross. It's interesting to think about the things that Jesus said. And we've got a great class, Brother Dan's teaching. Is that Wednesday nights? Sunday nights. Sunday nights on the sayings, the things around the cross, or the sayings before the cross. But one of the things that in studying this week was how many times Jesus would say, Father, Father, forgive them. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Father, it is finished. But there's one time where He doesn't call God Father. And it's at the moment in which He says, my God, why have You forsaken Me? bearing under the weight of all of that sin, that separation, that moment that he is in angst. I want you to see what Jesus did at the cross. That moment where he bore the forsakenness we deserved so that we would never have to be forsaken. That moment he became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. You see, that's what love is willing to do. That's the power of love. No line, no limit, no, but I won't do that. He was willing to forsake it all for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So many times we stop at verse 16, but verse 17 is equally as powerful when it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." I want you to think about that. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. We were condemned already. What Jesus did was Jesus came in the world as a vehicle through which we could be saved. And so when you see the cross, yes, it's horrible. Yes, it's terrible. But it is also wonderful because it represents the one thing that brings us hope. The one thing that helps a hopeless people to become a hopeful people, and it's the cross. I think about standing at the cross and what that must have been like. It's been many years, and perhaps you've seen it. But if you haven't, and I encourage you this week, sometime this week, to go back and watch again Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. Go back and relive to the best of our experience. And I would say if you've got small children, don't watch it with them because it's horrible. But I think as his people, we need to go in the best to our abilities and our imagination and stand at the foot of the cross and imagine what it was that he went through so that I could become his. The things that he went through to pay for my sin. You've looked at the cross from eternity's view. Now I ask you to stand and look at it personally. I'm standing before the cross and I realize the reason that he is there is because of my sin, because of what I did. There were many people that stood at the foot of the cross. It was the mother of Jesus, her sister, Mary Magdalene, John, the beloved disciple. There were others, there were soldiers that stood at the cross. There were others that would mock Jesus. But we also are standing at the foot of the cross because he's there because of me. A lot of time, people will try to say, well, who crucified Jesus? You know, they'll say, oh, well, it was the Jews that put Jesus on the cross, or it was the Romans that put Jesus on the cross. But the reality is, each one of us put Jesus on the cross. God so loved us that he allowed him to go. He allowed him to be there. And as Jesus said those words, "It is finished," he's saying the debt has been paid. You don't have to die carrying that debt anymore. He nailed it to the cross. He went there for us. And again, it was not a tragedy that happened to Jesus. It was a sacrifice and a plan that Jesus carried out willingly and freely at the exact moment love had determined before time began. You see, that's what God's love will do. You know, I ask you to think about somebody as we began this morning. I ask you to think about someone and what you would do for that person. Today we've looked at what God was willing to do for us that exceeds anything we can imagine, anything we can envision, anything that we would do for our friends. He didn't go for his friends. He didn't just go for his family or the faithful. Jesus died for sinners, and that's all of us. He went to that cross, not because we were good, but because we needed him to be found right in Christ. You know, we're going to think about a lot this week as it goes to the resurrection next Sunday, but the reality is we do celebrate that. Brother Chuck said that earlier. We celebrate the resurrection every week in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. We remember that's the source of our hope and our joy. But my question this morning for us is, what has the cross of Jesus Christ changed in your life? What is it that you look at Jesus and you go, I would do anything, but I won't do that? Is there that thing in your life that you're looking at the Lord and you're saying, yeah, I'll follow you, but I won't do that? Perhaps it's time for us to take our lead from him, to look at the cross and to say, not just I would do anything, but to actually do it, to lay down the sin, to lay down the thing that you've been holding on to bow before the throne of God and say, I can't do this. I want to be in Christ. And as Scripture teaches us, Romans chapter 6, that every one of us by faith were baptized into Christ. We enter into Christ, that saving place, because Jesus has paid it all. And we can have that hope with him. That kind of love demands a response. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if you haven't gotten that, if that hadn't changed you, then maybe you haven't seen the cross for what it is. Because when you get the cross, it changes you. I want you to think about that today. Jesus said to his disciples on the night before the cross, he said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And that's a simple definition of what a life that's transformed by Jesus will do. It's, I want to serve you. I want to honor you. And when you look at the cross, you realize he is absolutely worth everything that he asks of us. If there's any way we can be of service to you today, maybe you're here and you're visiting, you want to learn more. The greatest opportunity and joy of my life is to sit down and study the Bible with somebody, to share God's Word and just to talk, ask questions and to work through. If that's you, please, on the bulletin, I've got my phone numbers on the back. Reach out to me this week. I'd love to sit down with you and study. Maybe you're thinking, you've been thinking about it for a long time and you're ready to obey the gospel. There's nothing better for us to do today than to help you to become a child of God, to confess the name of Jesus, to be immersed in that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and allow God to raise you up a new creation attached to the righteousness of God. Maybe there's something else that you've got happening in your life and you'd like prayers. We have shepherds that'll be around the edge of the room. You can pray with them privately or you can pray in a public way with us in the front. If there's any way we can encourage you, we want to do that. As we stand together, won't you come as we stand?